Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this first Sunday in Lent is our Old Testament reading. First book of Moses, called Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 24. You've heard it read, and this is the word of the Lord, and so we pray, sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth, thy word is truth. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, we may not see or understand or accept the reason or think it deserving this, the result and consequence of sin, especially since it was not us, but our first parents who did it, who began this journey. Why should we be held accountable for them? Why should we be blamed? We didn't ask to inherit this mess. But we have to stop and think. Let's go ahead and drop the original, the first, and just ask about our own individual sins. Sure, but then we will do what Adam and Eve did, won't we? We're all ready and willing to then blame our parents or the devil or anything else. Yet they remain ours. And they are because of us. But this is Lent. And so today we could stand before God naked, ashamed, and guilty if we chose to try and justify ourselves in any way. And that which we fear would overwhelm us with terror and dread. So think along these lines. What are you going to say to him? What's to be done? This day and age, though, we are all about denial, changing the rules and the definitions so that we don't have to feel so bad. Because if there are less things we do wrong, well, then they tell us out there that we then need not fear and tremble, as they will surely not die, at least not as soon as we once did. We are on the way to finding its cure all on our own. Yes, we will cheat it. We will beat it. So no, don't. Let's not call sin sin. Let's not deal with it as we used to. Live and let live. Or not too long ago, it was all about cover up. Pretend to be good. Put on a good face, at church especially. And maybe no one will notice. And maybe God is at least pleased that I try. But there are other ways too to deflect all of this, that which we feel, that which brings sleepless nights and worries. We can justify ourselves, you know, say that the ends justifies the means and all that. After all, it was for a good cause. Well, wasn't it? You could also just plead ignorance of the law. But that is why we have Lent, each and every year, as no matter what we come up with to try and deal with what we are and what we have done, Lent arrives again. In Lent is God coming after us. Lent is all about God exposing our too light reality, bringing it all full bore, bringing it to light, right between the eyes of the world, of humanity. And also, if need be, aiming for the heart, ours. You, me, everyone, lest we forget, but all whom God makes to sit up and pay attention. Again, is this you and is this me? Are you hiding in the bushes there? Are you trying to cover yourself with things that don't do the job? Are you the type that point fingers and blame others? You. Is God looking at you? Is God pointing his finger at you or me? And we have nowhere to go, do we? And are there really any excuses left? My hand is caught in the candy jar. Is there blood on our hands? You, yes. Me, yes. He is talking to us. Are you getting uncomfortable? Are you yet? What have you done? What have you left undone? You who knows that he knows all too well. In fact, this is about you. This is about your life and paying the piper, reaping what you have sown. Well, you wanted to dance. You wanted to do your own thing. You wanted to make your own way in the world with your own rules. How has that been going for you? Now that it is the morning after, now that your head hurts, now that you are in a fix and cannot get yourself out, now that you are sick, now that you are dying, now that the time of your life is done and gone, and you are old, and you are dying, what now? What do you have to say? What do you have to show for yourself? From dust we are taken, and to dust we will return. Everything comes to an end. Everything crumbles and fades away. Everything is taken away. This is the very meaning of Lent. This is what Lent is for each year, lest we forget again. We do. With all those voices out there and in here saying differently. And I'm talking about in your heart. Don't listen to your heart. I mean in your head. Don't listen to that either. Lent is to bring us to this place, to this point again, to bring us to this understanding about ourselves and our lives, and to show us that there is nothing we can do about it, as if we remain in it. It won't end well. So what's left then? Well, yes, we can continue in this, those many ways and to try to avoid or ignore, but in the end, here we are before God, just like our first parents. God has, and thank God he has, brought us to this now, this here and now. He is doing this right now. This is what Lent is for. That is what God wants, because this is the start also of the Passover. His Passover. And his passing over kills. His passing over spills blood, wrecks lives, destroys kingdoms, small and great. Yes, and he passes over all. No one escapes. The whole world this time, he comes, he is here. He is coming, he is here. All of this while we are holding the bag, without anything that could help us, that could prevent the fallout, that could be used in our favor. Most will die because of it. And yet, his passing over also saves. Anyone who has his blood covering them lives. His sacrifice is offered instead of ours, his life in place of ours. Just like he did for our first parents, he brings his coverings to us. Just like he made a way for Israel, Jesus is the way for the whole world, for us. Yet it all begins in facing these terrible facts about ourselves. It requires pleading guilty. But again, better today than in the end, where there no longer is a covering to hide our shame and remove our guilt. This is what our first parents faced. This is what the Jews faced in Exodus and then had to deal with when Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. But they too, like Adam and Eve, all tried to avoid it. This is what we try all too often as well. We still, knowing all this, we still all too often try our best to cover up, to blame, and to make excuses. Do we want to insist on this? Do we remain stubbornly justifying ourselves? Then doomed they are, and we are to die, thrown out of God's presence. But there is no need. As God began the Passover, that which has been there from the beginning, God provided the way out, the way of escape, the sacrifice, time and again. Do you realize that to cover Adam and Eve, animals had to die? That was the first death in creation ever. He covered them with animal skins, the first sacrifice for sin, pointing to what God was going to do for the whole world. God provided the way out, the blood that hid shame and the stain of our sin. This until the right time, and then God became the sacrifice once and for all. This once and for all removed the shame and cleansed us of sin. That is why the Passover is such a big deal, why God insisted that it be remembered every single year, its story told at the Seder meal again and again. The Haggadah is repeated. Each part of the story is repeated. Each member of the family has their part to read, to say, to repeat. The story of God's salvation, the rescue with the blood put on the mantles of each house. The story of God's rescued, the story of God's rescue by blood. And God told them that they were to celebrate the Passover forever. And it is. We do. For us now, each year, it is in Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. Now, Easter is coming. And Easter has also already arrived. Easter's Lamb has shed his blood to cover us. So God, in his wrath, would pass over us and not bring about what was due, what we should receive. Then our Seder Haggadah story is about the end of our slavery, an end of that headlong plunge so many still insist upon, a defiance of his creation, his ways and what God wants and wants of us, that keeps us out of the garden, that binds us, that kills us. But this final Passover, it marks an end of the bondage to sin in this sinful world as we are covered by him at our baptisms. It marks the beginning of the road out of demonically controlled Egypt, another name for the devil's kingdom, as we walk this path to the final and permanent promised land. It is the road to the new garden, the restored innocence, the presence, him. The passion narrative of Lent is our Seder Haggadah, the story of our Exodus and how God accomplished this by a Passover. Jesus's blood being put on us and in us, in the holy meal he has set before us. This keeps the angel of death from taking us to hell while we track the desert of this world. In doing this, we remember his death, our Passover, until he comes. Yes, but then our Easter is coming. Easter is almost here. We have already eaten the manna that has come down from heaven. We have already have him passed the Jordan in our baptismal waters. We have walked through. We are even about to step onto the Father's shore. Soon now, the sun is about to rise. Morning is near. Hear the rumor of wars. Feel the earthquake. He is coming. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.